I've kind of feel like that for me as doing what I love to do. I want to inspire everybody to, you know, go after what they're passionate about. It's possible to turn your dreams into reality and turn your passion into a career. And I want to inspire everybody to continue to do it. It's never too late to do what you love to do. There's never, especially at the time that we're at right now, it's no better time than to do what you love. Like, we're only given one opportunity at this life, so why not do it by doing what you love? And I want to inspire everybody, whether if they're kids or older or adults or young, old, doesn't matter. I want to inspire everybody across the board to take that next step and go forward and do what you love to do. Because I've told people this before, follow your dreams at the end of the day, because nobody can tell you no. Nobody can deny you your dream. The only time it's a no is if you tell yourself no.
Thank you, listeners, for once again tuning in. We have a very special guest today, kind of an impromptu coming together. I think it was just the other day. I saw this lad's video and thought maybe we should get into a bit more. We'll have a bit of a chat about wrestling, chat about the whole big wide world of streaming and content creation, which is obviously something we're big. Well, one of our goals really at Vanity Faction is to sort of promote content creators of all kinds within the wrestling space, you know, whether that be YouTube streams, podcasts, and charitable organizations. Yep. But we are here today with Leo of Kicking It with Leo, who recently joined our Vanity Faction, I think, a few months ago, right? Been in.
Around Money in the Bank.
Leo, thanks for joining us today, mate.
No problem.
I think I first spoke to you a good while ago. It was way before you joined the game. It might have been a year or year and a half ago, but at the time you were thinking about training to doing wrestling school. Now you've sort of shifted. Now you're in to the big world of streaming, live shows. So how has that been going for you? You put a lot out there, so you obviously like doing it.
I mean, a lot of people don't understand, like, it's been one of those things that I've always been passionate about, like wrestling. And like you said, like last time we talked, my ambition was to become a wrestler, but unfortunately things came up to where I couldn't pursue that, but I wanted to stay in the wrestling space as in any way possible I could. So therefore YouTube just came in, and already at the time I was kind of doing YouTube, but I was coming up with, at the time I was trying to figure out what I wanted it to be about, what I wanted to do content on. Like you see a lot of people do content for whatever they're passionate about, and I'm passionate about wrestling. So it kind of just came together at just that point in time. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to do wrestling, I'm going to do Raw, I'm going to probably do NXT, do gaming. And it just kind of just took off from there. And it's been very fun.
What first got you into wrestling? Like what turned you on to it?
So really, my dad brought me into wrestling. Like, he watched Raw, he watched SmackDown. I mean, back then you had ECW, you had TNA, and all those different, you know, pay-per-views and shows and companies going on at the time. But I got introduced to WWE first. And the first match that I remember watching was SummerSlam 2003. It was Brock Lesnar versus Kurt Angle. And seeing that match and just seeing how good Kurt Angle was, I'm like, okay. And I just started watching consistently. Like, I remember just going to school and, you know, coming home every Monday and every Friday, I think, when SmackDown was on. And I'm like, okay, I want to watch wrestling. I was telling my dad, let's watch wrestling. And then it just really sparked from there, and it just really became a part of my personality over time as I got older. So it really just goes back to 2003, and fast forward 21 years later, I'm still watching wrestling. So
yeah,
it was just strictly WWE at that time, but now I'm watching WWE, TNA, AEW, and, you know, other companies as well, as much as I can. So it's just fun just watching wrestling, the storytelling aspect and the characters that they have on across all the boards of the different companies.
Yeah, it's such a unique art form, isn't it? Yeah. It's sort of like, well, it's obviously a TV show. It's kind of like a soap opera. It's got your drama. It's got the sporting element to it, which people engage with. Like, there's sort of a, I guess, for lack of a better word, there's a thirst to see fighting, but not necessarily over the top violent. It's like I guess it would be like violence you see in movies. But also, like, so when I was a kid, I would very much be into, like, not theater, like pantomime. Like, we have a lot of like just pantomimes at our schools, and then there's the good guy and the bad guy, and it was kind of hokey. I was taken aback by just like live performance and being in a crowd and actually seeing something unfold. And that's a great thing about wrestling too, is it's live. There's no cuts. There's no, like, let's go back and do that again.
Yeah.
So they're so skilled in that way, and there's nothing like it. And I kind of get sad when people, kind of don't understand it. See it as, I don't know, they kind of may take the piss out of it a little bit. But it's, once you get into it, it's such, there's nothing like it. You, as an audience member, you're a part of it. You're an essential element of it, and I don't know if there's much like that. You have your sports, you got football, baseball, basketball, whatever, and there are crowds there making noise, but they're not really part of the show. They're just a little bit more in the background. But with wrestling, it's, you really feel like a part of it, and you want to like participate in it. And it's,
yeah, you want to be there. You want to feel like you're part of what's going on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's definitely understandable. Yeah. You go to sports and you see that.
So, you said then you try and watch as much the wrestling as possible. I did wonder. So, AEWs were, what, about 5-6 years into it now?
Started in 2019, so 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024. So, yeah, they're, you can say they're about to go on their 6 year this come October. They're going to be on 6 years.
Yeah. So, I heard, like, at the time, when it started, where people were, kind of very judgmental about it and had harsh critiques about it. But also, people were sort of saying, well, let's give it 5 years. Let's see where they're at in 5 years, at the 5 year mark. And then we can truly see if this is like a big time or competition or whatever. So I don't know, after 5 years of it, I think you probably watch a bit more than me with regards to AEW. So I don't know, at the 5 year mark, how do you think it's going? Like, what does it look like?
I feel like, within, like you said, usually with a lot of people that see another company, they are critical of it. Me going into it, I've thought of it in a positive aspect, because it's like, well, this gives an opportunity for other wrestlers to have another place to work and continue to do what they're passionate about, which is wrestling. And it also builds strong competition, because at the time, WWE wasn't where it is now. We were in a different regime, under different leadership. And you can tell that it was suffering. They weren't passionate about what they do. And then you have AEW come along, and they posed a threat to WWE for a little bit there, because they were giving us compelling stories and interesting characters to dive into and, be fans of. But fast forward, it feels like AEW has kind of taken a shift for the worse because it feels like they have the star power to have one of the they have one of the best rosters, but they're not using the roster to the best of their ability. Like, their pay-per-views are really good, don't get me wrong, but the weekly television is suffering because they're giving us just dream matches. They're just putting together random matches with no story and no build. And on the pay-per-views, yes, we get great, compelling matches, but a lot of the matches do not have a story going into it. And for a fan like myself, you can have a good match, but at the same time, you want to have a story going into the match that the fans will buy into. Have a story that's going to go out throughout the match. Have a story going into the match and a potential story coming out of the match. But if there's no story whatsoever, then you're shooting yourself in the foot, because now the fans aren't really going to care, no matter how many times you can put a Kenny Omega on the show, how many times you can put a John Moxley or MJF. Right now they're doing this story where Jeff Jarrett is trying to win the AEW World Championship, and he's having a feud with MJF, which is like, MJF is like one of the best people that they have on the company, period, point blank. And you're having him feud with Jeff Jarrett, and no disrespect to Jeff Jarrett, but it's like, nobody's going to buy into him beating John Moxley at the point that he's at right now in his career. So it's like, it's consistency. Yeah, yeah. And then you look at the pay-per-views, like I said, you have good matches, but there's no story. And they're struggling. They're struggling to sell out weekly shows. They're literally struggling to even sell out 2,000 tickets for their shows. And at first, they were having like maybe 20,000 fans at their shows. And now you took a huge dip. And I feel like it kind of goes back to what happened, I want to say, 2 years ago with the whole Brawl Out thing at All Out with CM Punk and the Elite and all that. And I think after that, it kind of took a dip, because now you had Tony Khan, instead of being the boss, he kind of was just being a fan instead of putting his big boy pants on and taking care of business. Because if you got to understand this, you look at WWE, even though we were under different leadership with Vince, but now even with Triple H can understand that some of these people might not have, you know, the best relationships, but they will set things aside to look at the bigger picture, which is making money for the company and putting on a good story. You look at the CM Punk and Seth Rollins feud. They could not stand each other, but yet they put their personal feelings aside to do business. And it gave us one of the best matches on Raw. Same thing you could say with Rollins and Matt Riddle a couple years ago. They had personal feelings because of some things that were said, but they put their feelings aside to do business. And that's something that Tony Khan has to get better at, because now people are coming out and starting to say that AEW, the stuff that's going on backstage, is starting to come to light. You have people pretty much leaving. You had Penta recently show up on Raw. You're potentially going to have Aleister, or formerly known as Malakai, show up to WWE. You got Ricky Starks over there who wants to leave. Camille, she just got there and she wants to leave. You got Wardlow over there. Wardlow should have been a world champion by now, and it's criminal that they have not booked him to be in that conversation whatsoever. So you got Rey Fénix over there, who's just sitting in catering doing nothing when he wants to. He's made it clear he wants to leave. And then you have Britt Baker, recently just said she's not going to be part of the company, so she might be going elsewhere. So it's like AEW, it's where the best wrestle, but it's not where you want to go if you're trying to tell a compelling story.
Yeah. I think you hit the nail on the head with everything there, dude. At least you summed up the history why AEW, I think, it's faltering at the minute. Not that they can't get better in future. Like you said, the pay-per-views are generally bangers. But it's like, if you're watching Avengers Endgame, right, you have the massive ending battle where everyone shows up. Yeah, it's an epic battle, but it is that because we know all these characters coming in and we kind of know why it's all coming together, and it adds to it. The thing with AEW for me, I felt like the Cody Rhodes was the glue.
In a way, you could.
When he left, I don't know if that started this domino effect. They got CM Punk in, which at the time was massive, because no one thought he'd come back, and he was the biggest thing in wrestling when he came back. But then, like I said, the brawl out of it all, kind of exposing Tony Khan as not a as a strong leader. And I'm not saying you have to be a Vince McMahon kind of strong leader, but there's something to be said about someone who could get the respect of the wrestlers. And I really hoped Tony would get a good team around him. Like, he brought in the Mark Henrys, the Big Shows. He was bringing in legends, like respected veterans of the business, but it didn't seem like he put a team together that, to polish storylines and polish training. I don't know if some of those guys took advantage, kind of saw this rich fan who started a company and maybe said, yeah, we're going to get ourselves the paychecks here. It's clunky, the TV from week to week. I don't know if it's totally on Tony. I know like Vince McMahon would have Pat Patterson and Bruce Pritchard.
Bruce Pritchard and, John Laurinaitis and all those people running things,
So he had a team of bookers around who he had his inner circle, and then I guess that all filtered out to creative, but it does not seem like Tony's that.
Nope.
But maybe in his mind it doesn't matter. I mean, it's it makes money, it gets buzz going. It's just
Not in the best way, though, because
no.
when you hear AEW, it's usually something negative compared to a positive.
Right. And maybe that's the times we live in. There's a lot of you see a lot of content out there. I don't know about you, but the hardest thing about doing this fantasy faction thing is the negativity I see on a daily basis online. There's loads of really good creators, and I think pretty much everyone who comes into the fantasy faction and plays the game is generally cool and quite supportive, and that's really great. But you see a lot of accounts that drive engagement through negativity, and unfortunately that works. Controversy creates cash. It was an Eric Bischoff book, and that's all. That's what they tried to do. Yeah, in like the Attitude Era and over at WCW, it's creating controversy. Maybe nowadays it's become a lot more negative and.
It's kind of split, I would say, because you can have people say positive things, but then you have like your feed that will say negative things as well.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna say I'm holier than thou here. I've dropped a salty comment here and there on posts. So it's, I guess that's the thing I don't like about it. Like, I kind of get sucked into it sometimes, and
And it happens.
yeah.
It just one of those things where, it happens. I mean, people should be able to express how they feel. I think that's just the reality of what it is. I think we're in a time now, not even just in a wrestling space, but like we should be able to express how we feel and not really have backlash for it. But the reality of it is that we are, so.
And I guess it's easier for people too behind the screens, and having the autonomy of a comment section. But I guess if we're wanting to stay positive, you just kind of got to keep that in mind and sort of stay true to that. But yeah, going back to AEW, I guess the after the 5 year mark, still got a lot of hope for it. It's they've probably got the best roster they've ever had right
Easily, hands down.
now.
Hands
I
down.
mean, yeah, if you just if you rattle off the names, yeah, it's like Hurt Syndicate, Will Ospreay, Okada, Ricochet,
Ricochet,
Omega,
Mox.
yeah. They've Mox, who's probably been their MVP since they start.
He's the Roman Reigns of AEW, I feel like. He's literally like their go-to.
Yeah, and he's proved he can be, right?
He's proven he can carry a company. He's proven he can be a world champion and give you compelling matches. So
Yeah.
I think he's definitely done that in that regard.
Are they still? They've locked away the AEW title belt, right? Is that still?
Yeah, so it's still locked up in a briefcase. I know the parent plan is they want Darby Allin, from what I've been hearing. Darby Allin's supposed to be the one to take the title from him. Mox has been champion, I think, since August, if I'm not mistaken, like August, September. And with Darby, stepping away from AEW for the time being because he's preparing to climb Mount Everest. And that's gonna take him some time. So he's not coming back until the summer. So like towards All In, which is in July. So right now, as it stands, Mock is gonna be holding that belt for another 6 months at this point.
It's a little weird for me not seeing the belt at all. I don't know.
Yeah, it's literally locked away in the briefcase. But I feel like they're kind of gonna bring it back once we have Darby, cash in and win.
Yeah.
But you still have Christian Cage, who has like that briefcase or contract, which is kind of like their version of Money in the Bank,
Yeah.
where he can cash in anytime, anywhere he wants. So he can probably cash in at some point. I feel like whenever we do get another champion, then that's probably when we see the belt back.
Yeah, I hope that payoff feels good, like seeing the belt again. I
Yes.
don't know. It's not the winged eagle belt. It's not like as
No.
exciting as that, but it's a good idea. So yeah, maybe once Darby Allin or probably be Darby Allin because no one else is kind of over like him, like the underdog story of it.
Right.
You look at him, and I guess he's not the doesn't have the traditional look for a world champion in a big company like
Yeah.
AEW. So that's going to add some like specialness to it if it happens. So yeah, I hope he takes care of himself up Everest.
Yeah, that's a scary sight to
He
see, I'm
lives
not gonna lie.
a crazy life.
He does. He really does. He's a daredevil. Like he's I people have been comparing him to Jeff Hardy, but I don't think Jeff Hardy would be doing something like this.
No, I don't think Jeff, I mean, Jeff did all his craziness and stunts and whatnot kind of in the ring, right? Darby Allin, sort of real adrenaline junkie in life, isn't he?
Yeah.
You tend to hear him doing stuff outside of the wrestling world, so I can see the comparisons, yeah. But Darby's a cut above the rest. He's got that, the way he takes bumps, man. It reminds me of Spike Dudley back in the day. Spike took so
Yeah.
many bumps. I got a kind of video pop up on my timeline the other day of just Spike bumps. Don't know why, but he took some beatings, man.
He's took some beatings for sure. I mean, like I remember like that one clip where he got thrown over the rope and he was supposed to go through two tables, but the back of his head hit the other table. I was like, ugh.
Oh, and
Like I'm like, okay, yeah. I kind of cringe watching that one because I'm like, oh, I hope he's okay because that did not look good the way he landed.
when it comes to the head, yeah. Remember
You gotta protect your head, like.
Undertaker choke slammed him right to the outside. Just no cushion, just straight from the ring to the floor. And then, God, Brock Lesnar giving him power bombs. Scary stuff. But yeah, I guess so Raw's now on Netflix, in case anyone
Yeah.
hadn't heard. And yeah, I guess you're talking there about AEW and how they create stars and produce stars.
Yeah.
What's striking, I guess, to me is this Penta debut, and we're only 2 weeks into it now, and already they presented him like a bona fide star, and it just seems so simple.
Yeah.
They could have brought him in as a tag team wrestler with Mysterio, I guess, because he's not there for a minute. They could have softly introduced him, but they took this guy in.
They went full on.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't know, it's only 2 weeks in, but a great 2 weeks.
Indeed. And I feel like there's more that they could potentially do. I mean, Penta had some great matches upon his debut. The match he had with Chad Gable last week was really good. The match he had last night with Pete Dunne was really good as well. And then there's more matches that I want to see Penta have in, WWE. I want to see him face Drew McIntyre. I want him to see him face Gunther. I want to see him face potentially Roman Reigns, CM Punk, even though we've seen that in AEW, but I want to see what it would be like for them to do it in WWE. Him versus Bron Breakker for the IC Championship would be really cool. Him versus Nakamura, him versus Balor, him versus Rey, him versus Dom.
Yeah.
I think those are plenty of matches. And if we are to get Aleister Black in WWE, that's another match right there. Penta versus Ilya Dragunov, even. I would love to see that. Those are so many matches you can tell with him over the next couple of years.
And when, I guess, not the Rey Fénix being, in limbo is good, but the silver lining in this is that, Penta, we're getting to see Penta as a single star, which he has been before.
Yes.
And so we get to introduce ourselves to Penta here, and it's so many top sellers in WWE, he's going to be putting on bangers, and you can already see like the next phase of it. Once Rey Fénix does come in, then we get the Lucha Bros tag team, and then it's like a new debut again. And who knows, do something with Rey Mysterio. Seems like they're teasing that a little bit. Did you see on Raw? Chad Gable kind of put a hint out there that Aleister Black was coming in.
Yeah.
He mentioned something about it could be in school.
Yeah, somebody had showed me like a picture. I guess it was like something called the Dark something. And then, it's Aleister Black's wrestling school. So I'm like, how ironic would it be if next week Aleister Black does show up and he faces Penta? Now, that's a good debut, regardless of how you put it. And it'll be one of those matches, like, it can go either way. You can have Aleister win his first match. You can have, Penta continue building up momentum as well. So there's different ways you can really play it as we head into the Royal Rumble and as we head into WrestleMania.
Yeah, who knows? You could have those two have a match, and you could protect them both by having some maybe interference from someone else, and then they turn up. I think I'd love to see Aleister Black re-debut at the Rumble. That'd be a massive pop. I'm starting to think about like who else sort of is there out there right now, because if we're thinking about Rumble surprises,
I say Matt Cardona might be one. Because I think he's made it very clear he wants to come back. He wants to come back to the WWE. I think he, on his YouTube channel recently, he was reacting to his WrestleMania 32 match where he won the Intercontinental Championship in a ladder match.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, he's starting to tease some stuff. He said he wants to come back to WWE. He wants to, potentially be on the same brand as Chelsea and them doing something. And then, him winning a world championship, which is the one thing that he has not done, and potentially winning a Money in the Bank. I think over the last, four, almost 5 years, he has elevated himself to a level that I don't think many would have thought he would have reached, especially with him going on the Indies and, reestablishing himself and rejuvenating his career. Mm-hmm. I think it's really something special to see what he's been able to do. He calls himself the Indie God, and he has earned that name. Like, the matches he has been having have been nothing short of special.
Mm-hmm. He's not contracted to TNA, right?
He's not even, he's a free agent. That's the thing. Right. He is a free agent. He's not contracted to TNA. He even said people thought that he was on contract to AEW. He says AEW has never even offered him a contract.
That's weird.
So he's a free agent, so he can realistically show up in the Royal Rumble, and I feel like he can have a good showing in the Royal Rumble, for sure.
That would be a pop. He'd have to come back as Cardona, right? He couldn't do the Zack Ryder.
Don't do it. He said he doesn't want to come back as Zack Ryder. Okay. He wants to come back as Matt Cardona. So I feel like you need to have him come back as Matt Cardona. Do not have him come back as Zack Ryder. Yes, the theme song is cool and all, but have him come back as Matt Cardona. Come back as the indie god and have him have that type of character in the WWE.
Yeah. And him and Chelsea Green would make such a good... I mean, they're obviously a couple in real life, but they could make such a good comedy couple.
On-screen character.
Oh, it would be...
Yeah.
And imagine Cardona comes back and then he goes on his own mission to get the US title. And maybe, you know, that couple is both trying to be the United States champion of couples. King and Queen of the USA. Yeah, that would be amazing. I do love Chelsea Green.
Yeah, she's been doing some stellar work, especially with her being US champion for sure.
Yeah. That's what you need. That's like with wrestling, it's it's like a buffet. You need all these different kinds of things and a comedy character, especially one who can sell it so well and being able to, laugh at yourself and she does it great. She has a she has a good line where it's not like she doesn't look like a fool. She looks like R-Truth. Like R-Truth doesn't. I guess that's probably not a good example. But no, I feel like Chelsea Green, you can laugh along with it. And she's obviously being rewarded now because she's getting a good showing. Speaking of Cardona and Chelsea Green, actually, so I was there in Portland a couple of weeks ago when Chelsea Green retained her belt. And I was also at that Mania 32 when Ryder won. Nobody expected it because it was
nobody.
Six or seven people in that match. And so he was just in there.
It was seven people. And he wasn't even originally supposed to be in it. It was supposed to be Pac or Neville at the time. He was supposed to be in it, but he got injured. And I think in the video that he did on YouTube, Matt Cardona, you talked about he went up to one of the staff members. He said he pitched that he wanted to potentially be in the match, and he gave him a reason. He says he told him, "I never heard my theme song be played at WrestleMania," and that just sparked the idea of them having him be on WrestleMania, and they start to give him a little bit more of a push going into the show, and he ended up winning the title, which was really cool. And he was already at the time, he was kind of doing some stuff in NXT with Mojo Rawley at the time, the Hype Bros. Yeah. So he was kind of doing that in NXT, but also being on the main roster at the same time. And he ended up winning the Intercontinental Championship. And they told him that he was going to win, but he played it up as if he wasn't going to win. With his family, because his family were there, and he told him, I'm not gonna win. Unfortunately, I found out I'm not gonna win, and it was more of a surprise when he did win. So it was a really cool moment for him that he was able to win an Intercontinental Championship. You know, he's pretty much just won every title except for a World Championship, which is something I really hope this time around he does get to accomplish. Could you imagine the match that he could have with Gunther, which would be really cool? Him and Cody would be really cool as well, just because the story writes itself. Two guys who left the WWE and made a big name for themselves outside of the WWE and come back better than ever. I think that would be a cool story. Yeah. You can put Drew in that conversation. Drew and Matt Cardona would be really cool. And he has a different talent he can work with that he may have not gotten to the first time around, like Seth Rollins. You got Finn Balor, Roman Reigns, Jey Uso. I think you have a different plethora of talent that he can work with this time around than his first stint that he had.
Yeah. No shortage of talent he can go up against. I hope it happens. I hope that can happen at the Rumble. I'm really excited for this Rumble. Some Royal Rumble, you don't know what's gonna happen. Like, and they've stacked this one already.
Yeah.
Who you think is gonna win it?
I think for the men, I'm gonna go CM Punk wins this one. I think Punk needs to win this year because I was really rooting for him last year, but the injury happened to where I feel like they pivoted and Cody won. I think CM Punk deserves his flowers and deserves his moment going into WrestleMania. I don't know how he gets to it because if he doesn't win the Rumble, he could still win the Chamber or something like that. But I think CM Punk needs to win it. And then as far as the women goes, I'm gonna say Io wins. I think Io wins and she faces Rhea Ripley. I think those two have a banger of a match at WrestleMania this year. You can't deny that Charlotte, if she's there, she's gonna be a favorite. Same thing goes for Becky. You have those three that are going to be pretty much the favorites going in it. Then you have like people want to see win it, like Liv winning, but I think she's gonna win next year. But I think this year for sure, I think EO deserves to win.
Yeah, it was a good shout. Definitely think we're going to see. Well, surely we're going to see Charlotte Flair back in. If she's ready to return and the promos are there, seems like a natural place to do that. Becky Lynch, we know, is coming back at some point, but that could be a good spot to do that too. The Rumble, if. Do you know what? If this was the Vince McMahon days, I would say Charlotte Flair comes in at 30 and wins it. But Io Sky is a great shout. Maybe I would throw a curveball and say Dakota Kai.
Dakota Kai would really be cool because, I mean, she's starting to come into her own.
But yeah, as far as the men's go, I do have a feeling CM Punk is going to win it. They've been pushing it hard. He's certainly making the case, isn't he? But then again, I don't know. My heart wants John Cena to win it.
I think John Cena might win the chamber because you got to think he's still on the poster. But what I think is going to happen with John Cena, they're going to take a different approach with John Cena. I think the story that you do with John Cena is like he comes close to winning the Rumble, close to winning the Chamber, close to winning Money in the Bank and King of the Ring. He comes close at all these different moments. And then maybe later in the year, maybe at SummerSlam, you finally pull the trigger and it seems like it's the final opportunity, like it's the bottom of the hourglass. Can he do it? And he does hold on to that belt for like the second half of the year.
Okay, so like him going through a series of nearly, maybe, I mean, he just
Yeah.
doesn't. That would get the
He
crowd
just doesn't do
going.
it. Maybe he wins the chamber, right? But he loses at WrestleMania. And I feel like the match that they're trying to set up is John Cena and Cody. That match, I feel like it's going to be really good. But then you can have John Cena start to become more desperate and really doing everything he can to win that title. So I think that's a slow approach that they can take with John Cena throughout 2025.
He should get the title, right? He should break that record.
He should. I think he's going to. I think he's going to. I think it's bound to happen. He made it clear he came back to win the 17th World Championship. One thing I will like to throw in there is I want to see maybe John Cena get in the mix and maybe win the Intercontinental Championship. That's the one title he has not held in his WWE career. So
True.
him finally getting that one title that has eluded him will be something really cool. And similar to what he did with the US Championship in 2015, he can elevate that Intercontinental Championship and doing open challenges, maybe introducing new stars coming up from NXT, like he did with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, and pretty much people that even step on the main roster, showing them that they can still go and put on high quality matches when given the green light to do so. And then through that, you're building other stars to potentially be in the mix going forward in the future.
It could probably maybe do something with Sheamus too, because it's similar to John Cena. That's one title that's eluded Sheamus in that long storied career. So maybe they can go on a maybe they could have a little feud themselves in the pursuit of the IC title. It's hard to see. There's so many people John Cena can work with, but in a year, you can't,
It's
you know, you
like
can't rush
you
it.
gotta,
Well,
you can't rush it, but you gotta tell the story.
I guess I guess it'd be perfect if Cena was first in the Royal Rumble, right? And lasted a while, so you could have a lot of face-offs.
Yeah, I think that's what they're gonna try to do with the Rumble. Because me personally, I see it. You could do different scenarios for who the first two is. Like one would be CM Punk and John Cena. That would be poetic going back to Money in the Bank 2011. I think that would be poetic. John Cena and Roman Reigns would be really cool. John Cena and Seth Rollins would be cool. CM Punk and Seth Rollins would be cool. I'll throw this one out. CM Punk, not CM Punk, but Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns being the first two in the Royal Rumble will be something really, really good to see. So there's different ways you can play it throughout this. And like you said, with John Cena being there for a while, you can have stare downs maybe with him and Dominic Mysterio. I think that's something I want to see, Dominic and John Cena going at it. Finn Balor, you can put in like the other people I've named, like Drew McIntyre. He wants the main event WrestleMania. Jey Uso would be even cool just for the moment that those two would have. LA Knight even. I think there's different ways you can play it out, especially with John Cena being in there early.
Could you imagine if Dominic Mysterio gets the spot of having
The
done
elimination.
eliminating him? But I was also going to say, like, imagine if Dominic Mysterio and John Cena go at it at WrestleMania, and then people are like, "This is John Cena's last WrestleMania match." Dominic Mysterio,
It would be
just adds to
cool.
it. Would be it just adds to like his heat,
It would add, yeah,
that
definitely.
Dom heat. He's so good. We called it, like, we have recordings. I got to go back. We called it like 3 years ago, Anthony and I. Dominic Mysterio is going to be the biggest heel in pro wrestling. And I think.
I feel like he's gonna get even bigger this year just because, like, I feel like this might be an early prediction, but I think he wins Money in the Bank this year. I think he's gonna win that Money in the Bank contract, and he is going to have
Imagine.
that briefcase. Like, just imagine this playing out. WrestleMania 42. Cody Rhodes is facing maybe Roman Reigns or something like that. Maybe they want to do the part three or something there. And Cody, luckily gets past Roman for Dominic Mysterio to come out at the end of the show, cash in the Money in the Bank contract, and he beats Cody. And he's the guy that dethrones Cody Rhodes and becomes the new WWE champion. That right there would get people's blood boiling and people would be so irate. They're like, what did we just see? This man just beat Cody Rhodes and became the WWE champion.
People would go insane. The internet
The
be on
IWC would
fire.
just melt, have a meltdown.
I could see with Money in the Bank, though. Yeah, realistically, if we're going to put Dom, in the world title scene, yeah, having that briefcase gives him that heel tactic of maybe cashing in at some point, and it's coming too because he has the briefcase, and he would probably win the title.
He will win a world title, but it's like, which one would get him the most heat? Him beating Cody or him cashing in and beating Gunther? I feel like him beating Gunther would be so much more heat, I feel like, because it's like he really just beat Gunther. And it's like when you think of someone that's going to beat a Gunther, you're thinking like a Braun Breaker or a Cody Rhodes or a Sami Zayn or either Dragunov. You're not even going to think about him and Dominic. You're not going to think about it. Even though they've had, interactions in the past, Dominic has held his own with Gunther, though. And I feel like you
They did.
could play that up.
Yeah, if you beat Cody, then maybe, I don't know, because it seems like maybe like 20, 25% of the crowd are kind of over the Cody title reign at this point, so wouldn't really mind. My dream booking scenario, I just thought of it, is Dominic cashing in after John Cena just wins the world title. Could you imagine?
Oh no.
Could you imagine?
Now that I actually would be okay with. John Cena maybe wins the title, maybe at SummerSlam. Or even, yeah, if he wins it at SummerSlam, Dominic Mysterio,
After struggling for all year, like you said, like building up and
he
building up
gets
to
the
build.
moment and gets it, and he gets this moment taken right back.
Oh my God. Yes, do it, do it, do it. Okay, right
Do
now.
it. Just have Dominic Mysterio will be the most hated guy, not in just WWE, but the entire wrestling world. He already won Hater of the Year. Already won that. They're gonna double down on that. Him winning that briefcase and cashing on John Cena, it's game over. People will be pissed at the sight of John Cena losing the title to Dominic Mysterio.
Oh my god. Fantasy Faction players, take note. You might want to get Dominic Mysterio in this year for your squad.
You might. I'm gonna have to. I might just have to put him in my squad this year. I'm gonna have to. Because that right there is something I can buy into, and I would love single bit of it.
Big fat 100 points for a Money in the Bank cash-in. Oh, my goodness. Another interesting match that's happening at the Rumble. You've got Cody Rhodes, Kevin Owens, ladder match for the two belts. You've got the Whitney Eagle, belt back for a little bit of a run. But so last night there was an interesting thing. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn finally had a bit of a face-off after being teased for a while. So now, I mean, Sami's getting involved in everyone's business lately.
Seems like, yeah.
But Kevin Owens was like, you're going to stick up for me, right?
You're going to help me.
Or are you going to help Cody? So it looks like Sami Zayn is going to be a part of the finish.
Of this match in some capacity.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
I can see it.
I'm kind of on the Kevin is right train.
Me too. I feel like his motivation and the reason why he's the way he is now, it makes all the sense in the world. Like, you look at Cody Rhodes, who's been battling the bloodline pretty much since he's came back to WWE, and Kevin Owens has kind of been fighting the bloodline for like the last 5 years. So it's like, you put in those two together, they're fighting against the bloodline. Kevin helped Cody get to where he is as WWE champion. And then as soon as he gets the championship, he's teaming up with Roman, which is not... And Kevin Owens' mind is like, what are you doing? You're turning your back on me. We're supposed to be friends.
Yeah.
So it makes all the sense in the world that they're doing, taking this. And I like how the fact that WWE is not just having heel turns for the sake of heel turns. There's a story and motivation behind them. Yeah. And if you really want to be honestly talk about it, the villains that they're the heels that we have in WWE, you can look at Drew McIntyre, you can look at Kevin Owens, you can look at a Liv Morgan. All of them are heels, but if you really pay close attention, they're really the heroes in these scenarios, but they're being painted as the villains. Mm-hmm.
It's like an extra element to it, right? It's not the standard good guy, bad guy, heel, babyface scenario anymore. And again, that's another, like we're talking about at the start, is the audience being a key, participant in the things. Like, we get to choose who we cheer and boo for, and they're not like forcing it down our necks now. They're not telling us to cheer or boo CM Punk. We're making our minds up. They're trying to tell us to cheer Hulk Hogan, but it's not happening.
We're not doing that. It's
we're
not
doing now.
It's not happening.
Yeah, no.
It's not.
But with I guess Dominic Mysterio, he's supposed to be a heel still, but he's getting great reactions because of his work that he's putting in.
Performances, yeah.
But the Kevin Owens thing is really interesting because he's been the most consistent in his his reasoning. I mean, I condone giving Randy Orton a power driver. That's definitely a heel move, but that's just why like WWE stories are a cut above. There's multiple stories kind of going into one, and here we are. 4.5-5 years into the bloodline era, as I like to call it, and it's everything sort of revolving around that, there's so many branches coming off that one big bloodline tree that is going to keep on going, it seems. You know, even Cody, even though Cody finished the story last year, the bloodline story is not done. That's just his story. And now we've got Kevin's story. And, we've got Seth Rollins' story, Drew's story. Having to talk about Drew at all, could be in for a big, big year this year, probably win a world title. Probably a good time to draft in big Drew McIntyre. But
I think he's already been drafted, I think. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, he's been moved over to SmackDown.
Is he? Is he on SmackDown now?
Supposedly, with this whole transfer window, he's supposed to be on SmackDown.
Yeah. When's the window? When's that done?
They haven't said anything, but they haven't said anything about when it's going to end, honestly. I don't know if they're going to just continue to keep teasing things. But we do know Bayley is moved over to Raw. It's official. Bayley's moved over to Raw.
Okay.
The Wyatt Six have been moved over to SmackDown. So,
okay.
I mean, you're probably going to have Nia come over to Raw because it kind of seems likely now, especially with her competing against Rhea and stuff like that. So it seems like they're kind of starting to put pieces together. There's still some that we don't know yet. I know the American Made faction has been teased to be going over to SmackDown, supposed to be SmackDown bound. Yeah. So we'll have to see how that goes. Judgment Day, I don't know where they're going to do with them, especially where their current state is at. I feel like they tease something where maybe Liv and Dom go to SmackDown or something, but I think with the story that they're doing now, it's going to be a little bit more interesting than I think fans may anticipate.
Yeah, it looks, seems like they're still trying to figure it out, eh?
Yeah.
Maybe after Rumble, it'll be set then.
I would say probably the latest at this point, maybe like night after Mania. I think that's the latest I can see them doing this because they've already been kind of doing it for about a month already. So
yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they want to drag this out to WrestleMania.
It's going to be a good season. Definitely going to be a good season.
Indeed.
Yeah. I wanted to, while you're on, really make sure that you know, anyone who's listening to this, you know, kind of understands you, what you're about, what you're, you know, hoping to get out of this venture into like the streaming world. So we spoke on before about you know, trying to be positive in the wrestling space, right? And just, you know, seeing your videos and your passion for it, you seem like you know, one of the positive streamers who doesn't want to well, I guess I guess on this venture, I'm wondering, like, what is your hope for it, and you know, what's like your general message that you're trying to put out there? How do you want people to, like, you know, view your content? I mean,
I've kind of feel like that for me, as doing what I love to do, I want to inspire everybody to, you know, go after what they're passionate about. It's possible to turn your dreams into reality and turn your passion into a career. And I want to inspire everybody to continue to do it. It's never too late to do what you love to do. There's never, especially at the time that we're at right now, it's no better time than to do what you love. Like, we're only given one opportunity at this life. So why not do it by doing what you love? And I want to inspire everybody, whether if they're kids or older or adults or young, old, doesn't matter. I want to inspire everybody across the board to take that next step and go forward and do what you love to do. Because there's, I mean, like I said, we as a person, I mean, people, I've told people this before, follow your dreams at the end of the day, because nobody can tell you no. Nobody can deny you your dream. The only time it's a no is if you tell yourself no. And yeah, you're going to have haters regardless. And they're going to tell you, you can't do this, you can't do that. And yeah, it sucks kind of seeing criticism. I've been the recent of criticism over the last probably couple of days or so after I posted a video about how I feel about content creation. And it's been kind of split, where I've been getting positive reactions and I've gotten, you know, negative reactions, but I don't let that affect me. I wanted my voice to be heard. I wanted to you know, show everybody that it's okay to speak up and say how you feel. But, you know, some people aren't gonna like that. People aren't gonna like the fact that you're speaking up and you're talking about something that should probably be discussed or talked about. And luckily enough for me, I've been able to reach some higher ups in the wrestling, you know, space and the wrestling community, from consecrators like Weezy Blonde, mm-hmm. to Con Man, to Santi Zap, to Kickin' Ross, and people like that, people who are big names in the wrestling community, and they're doing what they love. And I want to someday be in the conversation with those names as, you know, people in the wrestling community who've made a big deal about turning their passion into their careers. And through that, I can inspire other people to do the exact same thing. And I want to, at the same time, unite the wrestling community into one big positive space where we can all to come together as consecrators, whether if you're a big consecrator or not, we can all come together and create a big wrestling community that's positive. And we're all, you know, having great amount of success at the end of the day. That's what I want. I want to see everybody succeed. I want to see you succeed. I want to see everybody that's a consecrator succeed and be able to, at the end of the day, provide for their families, but also on top of that, do what they love. Because at the end of the day, people can say that they go to their 9-to-5 and they're happy with what they're doing, but 9 out of 10, they're not. They're doing it because they have to. But if you really ask them, is it what you want to do? They're going to say no. They want to do this, but because they didn't maybe have the support system that they needed, they didn't follow their dreams. And it sucks when you don't have that support system to help you push through. And I want to also inspire people that if you don't have a support system, you have me. Like, I want to inspire people to do that. So I think that's kind of just my purpose at this point in the wrestling community, is just not only to inspire people, but to unite the wrestling community and create one big positive space.
Well said. Well said. I agree with you. That's kind of our been our message. Well, it's kind of our purpose, really, is, well, one, we want to play this game that we think is fun and engaging. But at the same time, there's a quote like, the rising tide floats all ships, and there's no reason why you know, groups of people can't come together, and even if it's just, you know, sharing a thing on a story, or it's a, you know, having a guesting appearance on someone's podcast or stream. Like, it all helps, and it all mm-hmm. keeps the conversation going, keeps the positivity going. You know, I mean, unfortunately, there are going to be some people who stray towards the negative and perhaps right. You know, solely focus on their own
agendas,
or indeed agendas, and I guess that's fine. It takes all sorts to make a world, but I think I think you've got a great message, and just, not that you need me to tell you, but yeah, stay true to your message and to your opinions, and some people may not like it, but I find that I've found that in my life, and I'm sort of late 30s now, it is a lot easier on your mind and on your soul and your heart to be yourself, you know, spread positivity and be yourself, but also accept that that some people won't like that. You're not going to please everyone. But if you do speak true, if you speak true to yourself, then you're gonna get people resonating with that, and then you'll kind of eventually you'll be with the people you're supposed to be with, that the like-minded folks. So yeah, it's I guess, yeah, if there's any message that we could put out, there's one message we could put out, I guess, with this podcast here today, is this, yeah, whatever content you're making or whatever walk of life you're in, yeah, stay true to yourself. You know, say what you mean and mean what you say. And then, yeah, and when you're not trying to get in anyone else's way, then the results will be positive. And so far the Fantasy Faction Group has been really good in sharing content. There's been collaborations
Yeah.
sort of based on what we've started. So that obviously warms our hearts that we're seeing a good effect, and we definitely say that with you too. You've got friends such as Willie, who you get to team up with, and just yeah, like I said, we can all sort of float each other's ships and raise the tide together, yeah, and it's an exciting time, the content world. It's only going to get bigger, I think, and yeah, so I think we should put it out into the universe. I want to see. I want to be watching SmackDown 1 week, and then, I want to see you, Leo, on the screen, where they have the reactions and
The
streamers.
reactors,
Yes, yeah, I think we'll put that out
that's
to the
the goal,
universe. We're going to
man.
get you on. If we're going to get you on SmackDown for a second, for a hot second,
Yeah, man, for sure.
yeah, it's going to happen, and I'm going to be brave and try and talk to some people in wrestling and see if they want this game. But I guess we gotta build up a bit more first, make it a bit bigger, a bit more interactive, and yeah, I can see success for definitely for both of us, and for other people within the community too. It's exciting times. Exciting
It
times.
really is, man.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, man. All right, Leo. I'm going to let you go. Thank you. Thanks for coming on the
No problem.
podcast. Glad that it could just, it came together the last couple of days. And hey, people, if you're listening, that's how easy it can be. Just if you want to talk to someone within the space, drop them a message. And it's wrestling. It's easy to talk about. And everyone in wrestling is generally cool. Most people in wrestling are generally cool. So, yeah, Leo, thanks, mate. It's nice. It's been a pleasure to talk to you again. I'm sure we will in the future. We're going to try and get a group thing together soon with Wrestlers and the Nerds, Nikolai from Denmark. We want to call him on to a podcast to answer some questions because he does very, very good in the game, and we want to have something of like a wrestler's court. We don't know how he's doing it, but he seems to do better than most. So we're having something of a Viking court, and when we get a date sorted, we'll try and have members of the Fantasy Faction community come on if they have any questions for him, any tips he wants to give out. But yeah, so we'll have that in the works very soon. So real quick, where can people find your content?
Yeah, so you guys, my channel is Kicking with Leo. You guys, I do wrestling content. We're at 533 subscribers right now. We're trying to get to 600 by the end of the month, but the ultimate goal we're trying to get to by the end of 2025 is 10K subscribers. So that is one of the big milestones that I'm trying to tack this year. And when I do hit that milestone, I'm going to be doing a giveaway, which I said in probably my videos, where well, lucky subscriber will have the opportunity to win a WWE championship from WWE Shop. So once I do hit 10K, I will do a giveaway for that. So if you guys want to be that potential subscriber that does win, go subscribe to my channel. It's absolutely free. You can always change your mind in the future, but I'm trying to give you guys daily wrestling content. So
Nice. Yes, we'll definitely be part of that raffle. Love that. That's awesome.
yeah, man.
All right, cool, man. All right, well, thank you once again, mate. It's great talking to you. It's really easy to talk wrestling, especially when it's with, someone as positive and passionate as yourself. So really appreciate it, mate. I'm happy that the streaming and content is going well so far, and yeah, that's eight up to 700, 800, 900, 1,000 subscribers. All right, dude. Well, you have a good rest of your day, and yeah, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you, listeners. This has been the Fantasy Faction podcast. If you want to hashtag join Fantasy Faction, you just head to our Instagram at @the_fantasyfaction. We are a pro wrestling fantasy league, so if you like fantasy football, and but you also like wrestling, then we do a fantasy league in wrestling. It's completely free to play. If you have content to promote, then through our game, we will share your content online and give you mentions in our weekly updates. So yeah, completely free. It's a lot of fun, a lot of good people involved. No, thank you everyone for listening, and yeah, see you next time.